You have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Chronicles, Old Testament book. It's called David's Psalm of Thanks. And like I said before, the context is the celebration of bringing the Ark of the Covenant into a tent that has been set up in Jerusalem. And David puts this psalm to words. And the part I want us to focus on, there's a couple in there, but then at the end it says, then all the people said, Amen, praise the Lord. Chapter 16 of Chronicles, beginning at verse 7. Chapter 16 of Chronicles, beginning at verse 7. That day David first committed to Asaph and his associates this psalm of thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord and call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He has pronounced. O descendants of Israel, His servant, O sons of Jacob, His chosen one, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the word He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree to Israel, an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion that you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. And He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch My anointed ones. Do My prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, and proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, my Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Quite a complicated song. It includes multiples of directions for us. It takes us, certainly, if we had the heart of the Israelites, there would be things that would have a deeper meaning for us because of how they're written, and we would have more personal investment in it than maybe we have as we read some of those promises and those events, those covenants fulfilled. However, in the middle of it all, you begin to understand what real thankfulness, what real people that have experienced gratefulness are doing. They're stepping outside the circumstances and they're seeing the hand of God in their life. The hand of God brought that child sitting next to you into your life. The hand of mercy has sustained them to 6, 8, 12, 17, 21, 50, whatever age they happen to be. The hand of God is working around you, and as you begin to understand it, it starts off with this very concept of this very thing where it says, sing to him, tell of all of his wonderful acts. And I go, what we were slowing down a little bit doing with the THANKS was we were trying to ask the question, what can we think of that we're thankful for just because those letters stir some things in our mind? And I go, if you were to say thank you, God, for what comes to your mind? Who has God spared this year? How has God brought healing into your life in the middle of a sadness or a grief? How has God reassured you of his mercy or forgiveness this year or this month or this week or in the circumstances of your life when you didn't know that God was working in those circumstances? How has he assured you that he's right in the middle of them? How have you seen the hand of God? You know, the testimony of that young wife and husband. God spared our lives twice in only 4 hours with both cars totaled and saved the lives of our daughter, in particular because she happened to be on the side where both those cars hit in both those accidents. And you begin to go, you start to understand learning to give glory to God, learning to give testimony to God, learning to have that kind of approach and thankfulness when it says, you tell of all his wonderful acts, all the wonderful things God has done for you, all the things God has carried you through. Now, if you slip over and you start to say, God, it's my strength that has brought me here. It's my success, my intellect, my ability to work, my thing, you know, whatever you want to do, you stop being thankful and grateful to God. But if you start keeping in mind the sense of what this song or this psalm is all about, you start to understand. Tell of every wonderful thing God is doing in your life. Have you noticed how beautiful, and you finish it off. Have you looked outside and seen the miracle of winter and fall and the effects of snow and ice and everything else? Have you taken the time to get past your own personal reaction to the cold or the dampness or anything else to see the beauty again? To have the enthusiasm of a little child, to look at snow like one teacher at my school whose son lives in Florida and hasn't been back home in Wisconsin during the winter for I think 10 years, and we had this little bit of snow, and she called him and says, well, where are you? He said, I'm in the parking lot doing donuts. And she laughed because he was enjoying life. He was discovering that even in the middle of those circumstances, you can be thankful for things. And so watch what it does next. It says, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are over all the earth, and he's faithful. That whole next section. Do you understand? When God makes you a promise, he will not break it. When God connects into your world and assures you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am more than able to meet the need that you have in your life. When I tell you, cast your cares upon me because I care for you, those aren't just words written. God is very consciously aware of what that means in your download. What it is you have to lay on him. What it is you can't hold or carry because it's either too burdensome or too destructive or too emotionally just draining. God says, I want you to cast your cares on me. And so you begin to understand these passages that speak about God's unwillingness to ever break a covenant. God's faithfulness, and it says, to 1,000 generations. Now, I don't know if you picked it up, but 1,000 generations is not 1,000 years. 1,000 generations is somewhere between 20 and 25,000 years. You understand the power of what they're saying. My God doesn't quit. My God doesn't turn his back on a promise he's made me. And when you stand before God and you speak out there in that kind of little childlike faith that says, you can call me daddy, all right? And he says, what do you need? And he's waiting for you to ask. And he's promising you, I will meet those needs. That's what they're talking about in that next section where he speaks about recognizing the faithfulness of God. Then the next section where we go down from 19 to 22 in there, he talks about God's unbelievable guiding over your life. He talks about this protection, this gifting God gives where you can be very small, young, little, and God can reach into your circumstances and protect you. You think that mother and that father aren't saying, thank you, oh God, for protecting my daughter? You understand? In that moment, you didn't even ask that prayer, and God says, still I will guard you. Still I will stand in the gap for you. He's talking about his people when they were small in number and they were vulnerable from all sides, and they didn't even get half of it. I mean, one of our biggest dilemmas is we sometimes think God has forgotten us, and God looks at you and says, child, can you imagine just for a moment if I stepped away and I allowed this world to unleash its full potential of wickedness on you? Do you understand how many times I've turned the heart of the king? Do you understand how many times I've shut the mouths of the lion? Do you know how many accidents you've been preserved from? How many of you don't, if you've lived a few years, have a testimony of an almost could have died moment? A situation that could just a little bit one way or the other could have resulted in being crippled or blinded or killed. And I go, the mercy of God in this next section is, God, I thank you because you're working in areas I can't even think of asking you about. And you're protecting me and my children and my family and my extent. You're working in our lives, Lord Jesus. I want to just say thank you. And so he goes into that next section, finishes that off. Then it says, the sing to the Lord, all the earth. And it comes through this. This is God not only of you. God looks at you and says, I am God of this earth. I know that sometimes you don't understand what's going on. But I want you to understand, I have not neglected to do what I have to do, even in the circumstances and the craziness of this world that we find ourselves in. So in the middle of the questions about ISIS, in the middle of the questions about revolts and situations across the international globe or in portions of the United States, God looks at you and he says, I still am here. I need you to know that. I am God of those people too. And you kind of want to ask, well, what are you doing? And I go, as I study the Old Testament or you study something else, you have to be careful because God's answer is not always everything's going to turn out just perfect for me. When God unleashed the Philistines on the Israelites, he was teaching them a lesson they wouldn't learn any other way. If God releases a country against this nation, please understand, it is not going to be because he hates you. It's going to be because he's trying to turn the heart of the nation. It's because he's trying to bring people to repentance. It's because he wants to turn them in a new direction. If his heart for Nineveh was turn, repent. If his heart for the lost is always turn and repent. If his desire is that no man be damned and that none be lost, you start to step into this with a different sense. God whispers and speaks to us in this part of the psalm where David just goes, you are King of kings and Lord of lords in every portion of the world. Finally, it talks about this sense of the heavens rejoicing, the seas, everything around. And I go, that passage that says, you do understand that even the rocks can cry out and praise God. And it speaks about the testimony of God's creation, giving testimony of who God is and acknowledging God's existence by its sheer presence and majesty and glory and beauty and things. Just to understand the concept of beauty is a gift of God. Just to be able to smell a flower and say, this smells very good. I like this color. This makes me feel certain ways. I start to experience life. God is blessing us through that. And here he speaks about even the trees of the forest are going to break forth. And that action, that including, God's looking at you and says, you have to understand, even if you won't enter in, God, the forest itself will break loose and give glory to God. And finally, he sends with this last little bit. Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Then he says, cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name. Now, I don't think God is necessarily going to have to bring us back from the nations. The question is, what is God bringing you back from? What's he bringing me back from? You know, in terms of the things that I value disproportionately, or the things that I think matter disproportionately, or, you know, I looked at this young couple and I said, different kind of Thanksgiving for you this year, isn't it? And they melted. They understood. They were going to have a different kind of thankfulness for the gift of life, for the presence of their children, for the treasured time. You understand this sense, rescue me, God. Pull me back from the foolishness. Pull me back from the things that enslave me. Pull me back from the nations that are keeping me captive, whether it's something in the world, whether it's something in my own compromise, whatever it is. And finally, he says, that we can finally glory in your name and glory in your praise and praise the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And so it finishes, and the people shout, amen, praise the Lord. Now, you understand, if you catch the psalm and you begin to apply it in the more generic, broader sense, you begin to go, Lord, I want to say thank you for each one of these characteristics, either about you or your world or about people or about circumstances that you've been trying to teach us. And so God sets you up for Thanksgiving tomorrow. And like I said, what are you going to do sincerely before God in order to be demonstrating gratefulness? What are you going to say to your mom or your dad or your friend or your acquaintance? Who are you going to call on the phone? Who are you going to call yet tonight? Just call to say I love you. Have a great Thanksgiving. I just called to say I appreciate you. I realize how hard it was to raise me. Do you understand the power of gratefulness? It changes you. It changes me. It opens doors to people's hearts to say thank you for the sacrifices of a man, a woman, a friend, an acquaintance, your own mother, your own father, your own brother, or your own sister. Opens up a door. Do you know what? My son called me and he said, thank you. I don't know the last time he just said thank you. And then he told me five things he was thankful for in my life and for me. You have turned and opened into that person's life a whole level of understanding, a whole different level of vulnerability. Sometimes our gratefulness is sometimes the greatest blessing that we can give someone else. Tonight, not only be grateful to the Lord, but be grateful to those around you. Pray with me, please. Lord, wash me thoroughly, Lord. Wash out anything that is either selfish or prideful. And replace it, Lord, with a tenderness and a gentleness. Give me a grateful heart for people in my life. Give me the time and the thought, and slow me down enough, Lord, to be grateful for the things that you've put in my life, the people, the beauty, the warmth, the affection, the tenderness, the touch, the hug. and 100 other things that sometimes, Lord, I take for granted or I don't even notice. I'm asking, Lord, that you would create within us a gentleness, a generosity, and a gratefulness that blesses people this Thanksgiving. Make us, Lord, for you, a blessing out into this world. Teach us thankfulness and help us to recognize all that we can do to bring honor and praise to you. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen.